far are you going?
About 30 years.
In this week's episode,
we gossip about people that we used to know on Toon Zone in a nutshell. Part one. That's all you need to know. Hey everyone, Dustin here. Alright, so for this episode that you're about to listen is that backstory episode I've been always talking about for a good while now. And it's kind of finally come to fruition, and it's going to be in two parts, so you're going to get the first part now. Forewarning or disclaimer, the people we mention in this podcast are not real people and have never existed, so if a name sounds familiar or you're online handle we may have quoted, it sounds very similar to those who went to TZ. We're not talking about you. Actually, we're talking about you totally. So this is our podcast backstory and how we all kind of came together on the chat rooms on AIM, because that's Joker shut down like a couple weeks ago, and I'm recording this March 27th at like 11:45 at night. And I'm really tired, so I'm just going to throw this in there. By the way, this episode is completely unedited, because I'm not going to bother to edit anything. So people's names that you hear, they're just a coincidence. Funny that, huh? All right, on with the show. See you for part two. Bye.
Jovita, you never fail to make us sick. Jovita, why do you exist? Jovita, you never fail to make us sick. Thinks no one understands him, but they know him. No one understands him, but they know him all too well.
So all five have come together.
It looks like Josh isn't on yet.
Yeah.
Aw. Crap.
TY isn't on yet.
Yeah, TY I don't think is going to be on. He's probably getting drunk.
As per usual weekend ritual for him.
We asked him a bunch of times, but he never responded if he was going to be on, so I'm assuming not.
The hell is that music?
Zionic, did you watch the new Ghost video?
No, I haven't seen it. I can't hear you because freaking Dap won't shut down his mic.
Aaron Wilson and the officers who dropped Freddie Gray. Congratulations to the one and only Michael Brown. 1 year free of crime, you did it. Rob a store, fuck a whore, blame Whitey for your crimes, do the time, repeat. That's all you niggers do. I still hate all you ugly spooks and your dirty feet.
Sounds offensive.
Now you want to start a move.
No kidding.
For doing their job. Fucking niggers, looks like you're making it easier for us to form a lynch mob. Gather all your baboon faces in your baboon places, and we'll get our AKs and have our way. If the race war comes, we'll end it all in the matter of a single day. Triple K, that's who you're fucking with. White might is not a great myth. We'll hang your nigglets on the strongest of the wits, and I won't have to hear your
Moon man, black lives matter.
They're worth less than fecal matter.
The police are killing all our brothers.
And they're gonna kill another. Black lives don't matter.
Moon man, black lives matter.
They're worth less than fecal matter.
Alright, enough.
Stop. You're gonna get us kicked off to radio, stop. Daft.
Daft. Just kick Daft off, I swear.
So I saw the vocalist who did a bunch of work on Samurai Champloo. on Wednesday. Actually, I'll tell the full story of that on the podcast at some point, probably.
Why don't you just do it now?
Yeah, just do it now. Get it over with.
We're already recording.
Isn't this a two-sound retrospective? This has nothing to do with anime.
It doesn't matter, Daft.
No one's going to listen to this episode, nor would I ever care if they never do.
Generally how it works. But yeah, but so...
What about that one guy?
The guy who commented today?
That one guy you were talking about earlier today.
Oh, the one that got subscribed to, like, everything on our channel. I think his name's, like, Ryu Mao or something.
Yeah, I think Daft was playing that to piss him off.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I can do that.
I don't know. All right, your story, Daft. Go ahead and say it.
Well, I was just going to mention how I saw the vocalist who did some stuff for Nujabes, and I got my friends and I got there early before we got there right as the event was starting, and they were still doing sound check. So they were like, they had a couple guys who were playing saxophones and stuff like that, and so they just started playing the song, and immediately my first thought was the fucking version I just played with the awful vocals.
Who put those on there?
Oh, that's from Moon Man. Moon Man started in the 80s as a McDonald's commercial.
Oh,
and eventually someone, I believe, affiliated with IT&D corrupted it and just puts Microsoft Sam over music and just says all these heinous, horrible things, and they use the artwork always involves the Moon Man.
No, I remember those Moon Man toys at McDonald's when I was, like, really, really little.
Yeah,
yeah,
I don't understand
this
meme.
Extremely racist variant.
I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it either.
Yeah.
What is Moon Man?
So they use the imagery from that McDonald's guy, and they take music and they put lyrics over it using, like, Microsoft Sam or something like that, and then they just put horrible, horrible things attached to it.
Well, I don't even remember Moon Man. Was he, like, Grimace or the Hamburglar, that kind of thing?
I'll link to the commercial, because the commercial itself is fucking amazing.
No, like, I remember as a kid, they had
this
toy
is not
for the plane. And, like, the plane had the Moon Man in it, but, like, I really don't remember, like, a commercial advertised for it. I was, like, three.
Just watch this commercial. Just watch this fucking commercial. The guy's it's a guy in a fucking moon costume where he has a giant moon head and he's playing a fucking piano on a spinning burger. That's fucking awesome.
I think I do remember that. But I was, like, 3 or 4 when those toys came out. And I was, like.
This was, like, in the mid-80s.
It was, like, the end of the 80s, probably. Or it might have came out when, I don't know, when I was born, perhaps.
I guess it is late 80s. Yeah, 87
yeah.
to 9.
But what does this have to do with Ferguson?
Oh, well, for someone, I believe, it looks like it was YTMND, took the character and then just... They just use it just as, like, they're corrupting the figure, I guess. I don't really exactly know why they use Moon Man. But they just...
recognize that song?
Well, my friend sent it to me because he knows I really like Nujabes, or Nujabes is how I believe you're supposed to pronounce it.
I don't even know.
And my friend sent it to me because he listens to Moon Man. And I was extremely upset, I was extremely upset because that's one of my favorite songs of all time, and to have it ruined by Microsoft Sam saying the N-word over and over again. Like, it made me greatly upset, but at the same time I couldn't help but admit that whoever wrote the Moon Man version did a pretty solid job, all things considered. There was some mild cleverness to it.
If you say so.
I don't think Josh is ever going to get on this call.
He's having connection issues.
I can play some more Moon Man while we wait.
No. Let's
that
just get
song,
this over with. Yeah,
that song in that commercial is an old Bobby Darin song called Mac the Knife. It was like a really popular song
in
like the 30s or 40s or something, and it's about a serial killer, and it goes into like really graphic detail of him killing people, and it's really awesome. And I don't know how that was like a really popular song, but it was. It was like a huge song, and like Frank Sinatra did a cover of it and everything.
And they got parodied for a McDonald's commercial.
Yeah, like 100 years later.
There's like, I mean, there's a lot of old songs like that that are about like people that peep through windows or like serial killers and hacking at people, and they're like popular songs. It's like, what was up with our great grandparents' generation? I have to wonder.
Yeah, like how all those like nursery rhymes are really
really
dark. Like, they're all about like disease and dying and stuff.
Falling out of a tree or something. Like the term politically correct did not care or did not travel very far with them.
Yeah.
Oh, are you talking about the ashes, we all fall down or whatever that one's called?
Which is like maybe an analogy for nuclear fallout or war or something.
It was the Black Death, I think that. It was a reference to. It's like some really old rhyme.
Yeah,
yeah. There were a lot of songs about like nuclear war too in like the '50s. It's really weird to hear that kind of stuff now. It's really really bizarre.
Yeah, because you know, duck and cover is a perfect way of concealing yourself from nuclear fallout under your government made steel tinfoil like desk or whatever.
Yeah.
All right, well, we might as well go ahead and get this started. This is our backstory on AIM chats for Toon Zone, and I wouldn't mind talking about how I got the Toon Zone, to be honest.
Do you remember? I don't remember.
I do remember. All right, quick fire introductions. I am Dustin, the host of this podcast, or not really, but it's my other co-host, John, and we've got Chris or Viku and Daft on. And we're basically going to, whoever listens to this, you get to know our grand backstory about how we all became best friends online and all the trials and tribulations that came with it. That's actually not.
This is just a 2-hour exercise in autism.
Yeah, that's really the main goal. How detailed we can get with things that nobody cares about except us.
Well, that's what it normally is, isn't it?
Speak for yourself.
Everybody cared about Daft's food fight review.
Yeah, that could nothing could be more autistic than that.
It's been. I actually don't. How long did I go on food fight about?
7 or 8 hours.
Talked about the movie for what 30 minutes, and the rest was like, "Dude, I want this fucking toy so bad. It's from China. I really want to buy it."
Dude, I actually never did buy those books. I will say there is a lot of merch for Food Fight for no reason. But actually, speaking of Food Fight, have you guys seen the trailer for Sausage Party? It's apparently a R-rated remake of Food Fight starring Seth Rogen.
What?
I heard about this.
It's not actually a Food Fight remake, but there is a R-rated animated comedy from Seth Rogen coming out this summer where the main cast is food. From the supermarket.
Okay.
The plot is the food think that, like, when they get eaten, or, like, when they get taken from the supermarket, they're saved. Like, it's like God saves them. But then a bunch of the food sees, like, the housewife, like, destroying all the food and stuff, and they freak out, and they somehow escape and try and warn the supermarket.
Okay.
And this is the first major release for a PG-13 or R-rated animated movie.
I remember seeing ads for one like a year or two ago on Adult Swim. I don't remember what it was, but it seemed like it had some major actors in it. I can't remember the name though. It didn't look very good.
If it was, and it probably didn't get a wide release or wasn't expected to. Well, I guess the last one we got was Adam Sandler's 8 Crazy Nights, and that thing was a tremendous fucking failure.
Are you forgetting about Aqua Teen Hunger Force : movie film for theaters?
That one didn't really. That one had very low expectations. That one didn't get like a 3,000 theater release. Like Sausage Party is probably $100 million movie.
I mean, it had a low budget, but I thought it did get into a lot of theaters.
I think the widest release was like 1,500. It was not big.
Yeah. So to do some tie-in with the chat history, I remember when that movie came out, NIV went to the premiere or whatever, and there were a bunch of people smoking weed in there, and he came out and got on the AIM chat when it was over and started whining about it.
It was like that when I went to see that movie too.
Yeah.
I swear, I believe I saw one of the Moonanite light up apparatuses in Boston before the bombing. I don't know if like I the thought bombing? I did retroactively or not.
It wasn't a bombing theft.
Yeah, nothing harmful happened in Boston. The only bombing happened was the police blowing up the neon signs because they thought they were bombs.
$1 million in taxpayer money, and I guess Turner ended up paying it. Traffic delays, and Jim Staples had to resign from Cartoon Network. So that's how we got Cartoon Network real.
Wasn't it true that those were in like several cities, and Boston was the only one that freaked out?
Yeah,
it was at least 20.
It was going on for months. It was going on for like maybe like a half a year or something. And it was only like someone in Boston was like, I don't know what that alien neon light thing is giving me the bird, but it's got to be a bomb in some way.
Yeah, no, it was pretty great.
Can you believe it's almost been 10 years since that happened?
I know, I celebrated it this year. I actually remembered for once. I have an Aqua Teen shirt that I've had since 8th grade, and it still fits me to this day.
What is the deal with the Boston episode that was...
that never got released officially. It went through multiple iterations, never got released. I believe Mike Lazo, the head of Adult Swim, didn't want them to put it out. But last year, someone leaked it. They still haven't, no one came forward immediately with leaking it. But there was a rumor, or the episode came out in a very unfinished state. I think backgrounds were not in like a third of the episode.
Yeah.
But there was a rumor, or a few years prior, one of the founders of Aqua Teen said if the episode ever got out, they would probably be fired. And coincidentally, that ended up being the last season of Aqua Teen. I doubt they're connected, but some people have speculated that's part of a reason why Aqua Teen got canceled.
Oh. Okay. But, so that was made before the, before they put up the Life Brights, isn't that right?
Oh, no. The Boston episode was made as a direct response.
Okay, because I can't understand why they would make that. They can't have really thought it would be able to be aired, could they?
No, I don't think they did, but they still did it anyway.
Yeah, I just don't understand who would like approve money for something like that everyone should know is not going to be able to be aired, because it's like taking a shit on a major city that's accusing them of being terrorists or whatever. Like, it's.
I think that suggests that Adult Swim actually has oversight over what their talent, for lack of a better term, do.
Yeah, that's like true. They make shit that airs at 4 a.m. in the morning, and I don't know why they fund stuff like that either.
Hey, you gotta fill up that time slot.
And they allow the creators of the Venture Brothers to take 2 to 3 years between episodes.
And they air anime.
Alright, well actually, no, like Chris answered a question about how I got to the forums. And like this is like this, I guess, my elaborate backstory about how I met everyone. I guess going to the main core of this, if there even is a focus on the AIM chats, is the fact that, alright, Chris, you and I were both part of Zach Logan's Adult Swim Headquarters forums. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
That's how I knew, first met you. So that was like 2003, 2004, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I didn't even know about Toon Zone, but to really sum it up, like, that was kind of a more of, like, I guess what I remember. I don't even remember how I found the forum, but, like, I was in high school then. And so that was, like, my first kind of, like, experience, like, with being on a forum and talking to people that way. But I found out about a Toon Zone later when Zach closed down the Adult Swim headquarters before what he reopened it up later, but then it wound up becoming, like, a porn site or something.
Not on purpose, I don't think.
Yeah, but
Josh kept telling them about it, and they wouldn't remove the link.
I remember that. No, so it was actually I think it's Duelist Goku or whatever, or Jovita, that got me or told me about Toon Zone, and then I eventually subscribed because that's when Adult Swim HQ's closed down, and then eventually about like maybe 6 months later is when I joined the forum, or not the forum but the chats, and that's how I got to like know you guys.
So we're in 2006 now, right?
The what?
So we're in like 2006 now or 2007.
I thought I joined the forums according to my Toon Zone account. I officially joined in August of 2006.
Okay.
But I thought it was way sooner than that.
Wow, that's actually really late, I think. I think I was banned by then.
On your first account, probably.
Yeah, no, I looked at your, what was it, one of your accounts when I was on there, and it showed that you were banned like 3 years before I ever joined.
Yeah.
Do you even know why you got banned from Toon Zone? Do you even remember?
Yeah, I mean, you guys know how I act, and, you know, it's just being like unnecessarily combative and, you know.
You're a jerk, is what you're saying. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know.
Didn't Carl Olsen ban you?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, and I talked to him about it in person later.
In person?
I saw him at Comic-Con. And he was like, he was doing a thing. Like, he like went up at the end of a panel. He like went up to talk to somebody. I don't remember what the panel was. And he was like, "Hey, I'm Carl Olsen from Toon Zone. Can I get an interview with you guys?" And I'm like, I started laughing and I'm like, "Hey man, did you know that you actually banned me from your website many moons ago?" And he's like, "No, who are you?" And I told him about it and we laughed and, you know, traded stories. He convinced me to buy his amateur rap CD.
You
still have this.
Yeah, can we get a review of that fire CD?
Yeah, that's we definitely use this for opening and closing songs.
Yeah, I'll go get that.
You gotta play the Jovita song too.
Yeah, I was gonna say Jovita song on.
And the Zach Nathanson song too. You mock me, you mock my work.
Yeah.
You mock my friends.
I considered you nice people at one point. I listen to both those tracks like sort of like every now and then on my phone. I'm just it's coming up. All right, I can get down with this.
Zach Nathanson is a big part of this, actually, kind of unintentionally, because I was at Toon Zone before we started that website, and then we started the website, and that website folded and got absorbed back into Toon Zone. But by that time, I'd already quit or been banned from both of them. So the end result is kind of like a wash, you know.
Yeah. And interesting enough, like this was when Zach Logan was before he ever. Wait, am I thinking of a different Zach?
Nope.
Because I thought Zach Logan was the one that created Adult Swim HQ, right?
He changed his name on Toon Zone from Zach Nathanson to Zach Logan.
Okay. Yeah, but this is before he ever did the One Piece podcast, like years before. Yeah.
And I think before that, wasn't he called Gogeta or something?
Yeah, I think
sounds vaguely familiar.
I think so. I don't remember what it was, but something like that. Huh. And we tried to do a podcast on Adult Swim Unleashed, and it went really poorly, and only made one episode of it, and we never did another one.
I think, no. All right, do you guys have that episode? Because I think, like, I heard of it once.
Isn't it on iTunes still?
I have no idea. I don't have it personally, no.
Okay. Interesting enough, like, before I got into doing our old podcast, The Cool Kids Club, I knew about another podcast from somebody else, and they were playing something that was a collective of bad podcasts out there, and they picked that one episode specifically. Like, really? They were airing it, and I was like, wait a sec, I know this. And then I hear, like, your voice come on. I was like, wait a sec, I know Viku's voice. Because I think it was, like, I got a hold of the episode somehow years ago, and I have no idea if I even still have that thing or not.
Well, it was so bad about it.
Just really poor audio quality.
Yeah.
No, chemistry or anything. It's just basically just all monologues in, like, series. Like, one person monologues. It wasn't, like, a conversation or anything, but mostly the audio quality was the worst thing.
it can't have been worse than the early Cool Kids Club episodes.
Yeah, I think it was, actually.
Really?
It was pretty lame.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
No, John, that is saying something.
Yeah.
From what I remember, that is saying something, that the Cool Kids Club episodes are better than that Adult Swim Unleashed.
Do you remember the episode, Daft, where we did a review of some upfront, and it was just a terrible episode? And you, like, read through the synopsis of every show Nickelodeon had picked up or something, and it was just an excruciatingly boring episode.
It was like that.
You guys didn't help by providing any commentary or giving a shit.
Because it's Nickelodeon shows. Who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
Who the fuck cares about 80s anime?
Many people I believe.
Then there's so few panels at Anime Boston that cater to 80s anime.
Well, I think most of those go to, like, Otakon and Anime Weekend Atlanta and some other places that's not anime.
Every convention's the same shit, dude. It's all, like, those panels.
It's mostly the same stuff, but, like, you'll find something different at each con.
I don't know if you were in the chat, Xeonic, when I came to this conclusion. I think in 30 years... Like, now, like, what's popular in the anime community? Like, a harem, OA, like, that type of garbage? Mm-hmm. So, in 30 years, those fans will be exactly like what the 80s anime fans are like now. They'll be like, it was better in my day when we had K-On! And all that shit. They'll just be like,
Let me tell you about the greatness of Strike Witches.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing is better than that show.
Yeah, it'll be a bunch of people just... And they'll be bitching about the revival stuff. They'll be complaining about how the anniversary merch doesn't properly showcase what they love. And they will record podcasts talking about how all the content was better 30 years ago. Exactly like you guys fucking do.
I'm not disagreeing with that at all. Believe me. I think for me, my fate is if I continue as an anime fan, that I'm gonna wind up like those decrepit hunks of flesh that wander through the halls of science fiction conventions and just start, like, barking at everything and how everything sucks. Because then I'll be, like, 40 or 50 by then.
Daft, you know how you posted a video, I don't know, maybe, like, a few months ago or a year ago, where there was some guy talking about how he thought that 2005 and 2006 were the golden age of anime or something, and he was like, wow, everything sucks now compared to Haruhi and Gurren Lagann. But, oh, actually, I realized that everything is just aimed at different audiences, and it seemed more fresh to me because I was new to it or whatever. There are already people like that for stuff from just as recent as 10 years ago.
Well, probably, like, there's people who probably think, like, anime was better 2 years ago than it is now.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And to kind of bring it back to a Toon Zone perspective, like, if you go on Toon Zone now, people, like, there's users who post saying, like, man, I missed the good old days when my gym partner Is a Monkey was on and Chowder was on and shit like that. And for me and John and Josh, we're like, man, where's Powerpuff Girls and Dexter and shit like that. And, I mean, I'm sure there's, like, people who are older than us who are just like, man, I miss the good old days when Cartoon Network was the Moxie show, Space Ghost Coast to Coast, and fucking reruns. So I just feel like
okay.
Geekdom in general, I feel like it's just an endless, it's the same shit, just slightly different and just at a slightly different year, but all geeks go through the same shameful cycle.
Daft, did you see the post by Tim Box?
Space Ghost, because that was awesome when I saw it, like, late at night, like, when I was, like, in sixth grade or something.
I'm not bashing Space Ghost. I'm just saying that there's always a sect of fans who are like, this period was the best part because that was when I was 9 through 13. Those are my formative years, and that is, like, where I best nostalgia to before I had any responsibility.
Daft, do you remember the Tim Box post from, like, a week or two ago where he was ranting about how Teen Titans Go is garbage and they need to bring back Samurai Jack and Powerpuff Girls or whatever? I mean, they are bringing those back now, but I have a feeling people will be upset about their revivals, too.
No, people are already mad about the new Powerpuff Girls because they recast the three main characters. The animation, like, the character design is slightly off, and the music is very music and pacing is pretty different. So people are already pretty fucking mad about that.
Have you seen the leaked episodes?
Yeah, I watched all of them. They were fine. It's not the best thing I've ever seen. It's not the worst. There's still plenty of Powerpuff Girls DNA in it, but it is clearly a different creative team.
I'm not sure I can stand to watch it.
Do you remember when, like when they announced the voice actors for the new Powerpuff Girls, I remember Tara Strong was like on Twitter being vocal about how she wanted her old job back.
Well, think about it. She think of how much fucking money she got from just doing.
She makes so much money now from doing like My Little Pony or whatever, and like whatever else she does. She's not. It's not like she's broke.
No,
like
but,
freaking good lord, give the chance to give the roles to somebody else if it's a revival.
I mean, from her perspective, I can see like that's a character you made iconic. You put effort into making a great character. So from her perspective, you can see why she would be upset, but at the same time, it also probably has some financial motivation behind it, both on her end for why she wants to be the role, and Cartoon Network's end for why they didn't ask Tara Strong or the other two main voice actors to come back. So they can save a little bit of money.
I thought one of them was the voice of a Rugrats character, like Tommy or something. Or Chucky, and I thought they died.
Yeah, I think that's... Oh, E.G. Daily's still around. You're thinking of Christine Kalvik? I can't pronounce her last name off the top of my head. She voiced Chucky.
Yeah. And she also voiced Dexter.
Yes.
I remember that.
Well, she retired a decade ago and recently, but recently passed.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, supposedly they just recast the voice actors partly for financial reasons and partly because they wanted to go in a different direction. Which honestly, I think it's kind of better they did change the voice actors so the older audience can kind of acknowledge that it is a different show. I feel like that's actually a smart decision on Cartoon Network's end.
Mm. I just want to point out that, I haven't heard John or how Josh got into Toon Zone or the Toon Zone chats. If one of you guys want to go first or go next.
okay. Josh, do you want to go?
Yeah, sure. Let's see. So, how I got into Toon Zone or just the chats?
Both if you're able to sum it up.
Yeah, do Toon Zone first.
Yeah, let's see. My first experience with Toon Zone was, can you guys hear me all right?
Yeah.
Okay.
My first experience with Toon Zone was back, like, I want to say, like, 2001, 2002. I came across the old Cartoon Fridays, like, fan site they had. I think I also looked at some of their other ones, like the Tiny Toons website. Want to say at the time I might have looked at the forums and I can't recall if I might have joined them at some point back then, but I can't even remember what the account was at this point. Let's see. I didn't actually join Toon Zone though until about it was like October 31st, 2005. I remember I joined mainly only to talk about Bobobo, because I was premiering on Toonami at the time.
Didn't it air on Cartoon Friday first?
Yeah, it did, the first episode. That was weird.
Or Fridays, rather. I guess it wasn't Cartoon Friday anymore.
Yeah, it was Fridays at the time. And it's weird even looking back on it that they had, like, the hosts talking about the show, and it's like their attempt at trying to explain it and failing.
Didn't they have it where the mouth movements were out of sync with what they were saying, the hosts?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just like spent like 5 minutes of the show just trying to say bo 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 bo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I joined Toon Zone mainly to discuss that, and I just kind of stuck around, and I don't remember exactly, like, if it was, I want to say maybe it was a thread that, that Joe Vita, aka Duelist Goku, made, or maybe he might have private messaged me, but either way, he, like, invited me to the chat. It's like, he was like, hey, you have a AIM account, how about hop on AIM, you join our chat. Yeah, and then I joined the chats around, like, God, I want to say maybe it was 10 years ago now. Like, the earliest chat I can remember is, like, we were talking about the Metalocalypse pilot, but that, I know I had been on in the chats for a while before that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and yeah, 10 years later, here I am, still talking.
Talking to us, no less. Yeah. How about you, John?
Yeah, so I think I found Toon Zone in about early 2004, when they started airing ads for Miguzi and saying, you know, that Toonami was going to Saturdays and that sort of thing on Cartoon Network. And I wanted to look up information about this online because I wasn't sure if Toonami was just going to air after Miguzi or before Miguzi or if it was only going to be on Saturdays. And I wanted to know what was going to happen with SVES and all the schedule stuff. So I looked on, I found the Toon Zone website, which had schedules back then. And I don't know if they still do or not, but
they do, but just for like the current week.
Okay.
That's still like one of the changes that pisses me off the most that Harley made was just getting rid of like 10 years worth of schedules.
Oh yeah, she's terrible. but yeah, I lurked for a couple of years there, and you know, to look at the schedule and that sort of thing, read the Toonami threads, and in 2006, I eventually joined once I became 13 because I remember there was like an age limit. And for whatever reason, I actually respected that.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, do you really obey those things?
Government's going to track you down. Police officer going to knock on your door.
It's for your own good.
Let me say this much. I actually, like, lied at one of those things one time, and I got a reward out of it. I remember when, I think it was when, The World Is Not Enough was coming out, and, like, there was some sort of website that had, like, a sweepstakes to enter in to get stuff like James Bond movies. And so I put in that I was 18, and even though I was 13 at the time, and I entered the sweepstakes to get something out of this James Bond competition. And then 3 months later, I got a copy of GoldenEye on VHS sent to my house. And like, I saw it, I was like, holy crap, I actually got something out of this. So the lesson here is if there's an age limit thing, it is utter bull crap.
Zan, like, I'll have you know, I just dialed 911, and I'm currently on top hold of an operator to report this crime.
You're going to bust me after almost 20 years later for lying on a website to get a GoldenEye VHS tape?
No limitations on that shit.
Do you remember when Gatomat called the state trooper on Dark Lord Aviator?
God damn it.
Wait, did he, like, what was the end result of the trooper just not, was it not?
Was that after we went to Wrong Planet or whatever that chat room was, John?
Yeah, we were on there impersonating Aviator and, Gatomom and, maybe Yoshi Angemon too. We had like a handful of accounts and we were, pretending to be Gatomat and Gatomom and all of them. And all the autistic people on Wrong Planet were like, dude, you're too autistic even for us. You gotta get out of here.
Alright, I guess we're gonna get into some chat room drama.
Oh wait, I didn't get to the part where I found the AIM chats. There was somebody mentioned it on one of the Toonami threads. I think it was the movie, the Dragon Ball Z movie with Hitler. Fusion Reborn, yeah. And, so I joined the Toon Zone chat for that, and I think I was invited by, the original Mecha, and he invited me in there, and, we were, you know, reading the thread as it aired and watching the movie. And I remember there's some other people in there. I think it was Yash, Samurai Quack, Josh, probably Jovita. And then Mega Man X made his post on the Toon Zone thread asking who Hitler was. And he was like, is this some movie villain or just some DBZ villain I don't know about? Who the heck is this Hitler character? And that's my first main memory of the Toon Zone chats, is just that first memory of amazing stupidity, which there are plenty more of from the chats.
Well, you can just blame the public education system for that one.
He actually did do that later on. Like, at first he was like, oh, I knew about Hitler. Yeah, I totally knew about this. I just thought it was a different Hitler. But then later on he made some post saying something like, okay, fine, I just wasn't taught about Hitler in school, okay? Don't blame me for it. Blame the California schools.
Like, you guys gave me shit for not knowing what apartheid was when I was in, like, 10th grade. But they didn't teach me that either. But I feel like Hitler you probably learn about by 10th grade.
I knew that in second grade.
Yeah, they talk about Hitler every year in history class.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How old was this guy?
He's a bigger subject.
He's like our age. He's like Daft and I's age, I think. 23, 24 or something.
That's ridiculous.
So he would have been 13 or 14 at the time.
Still doesn't know about Hitler.
I don't see how that could even be possible unless you, like, live in Germany or something where it's like you can't even talk about that, you know?
Well, I'm sure in Germany they constantly beat themselves over the head with Hitler and say we can never have another person like him, so we've got to be very politically correct. And
yeah.
They censor the internet to ban anyone who says anything negative about the refugees and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, back to Toon Zone.
I think,
sorry.
I actually looked up my old account. It looks like I joined in 2005, which I'm surprised I joined that early.
So you're going to be in jail too for this podcast, along with Ziani.
I would have been 12. Yeah, so I definitely actually did join underage. So I guess I'm going to be going to jail too.
So you joined to talk about how great Son of the Mask was, right? First stone.
Oh, I clearly have sin. but yeah, I'm not exactly sure how I found Toon Zone. I'm going to assume it's a combination of, I remember looking at the schedule a lot. I know Toon Zone kept a pretty active schedule, on their site at one point for all of the kids' networks. And I believe Josh might know more than I would, but I believe TV Tome shut probably around 05, 06. And became TV.com, because TV Tome was the first form I joined, and that I must have been 11 at that point if I was 12 when I joined Toon Zone.
I believe TV Tome did shut down in 2005, because I remember I used to look up schedules on there sometimes, and I remember looking up like Cyborg 009 on there when it moved to Friday nights, which I think was 2005, but maybe 2004.
I may still have a printout of it, but I remember someone posted about a theatrical Ed, Edd n Eddy movie, and I got really fucking excited about it and told all my friends in elementary school. I'm pretty sure I know I had the printed copy for a very long time.
Wow.
So yeah. Yeah, so it looks like TV Tome shut down June 2005.
Isn't Josh, or rather wasn't Josh a moderator on there at like age 10 or something?
I know Josh was on there before I was. If he was really put as a moderator at 10, I question how TV Tome was bought for $5 million by CNET.
I think he was
the
moderator of the Whatever Happened to Robot Jones forum, if memory serves.
I mean, I guess I could see why a 10-year-old would get that position. I can't imagine that was a highly competitive position.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Whatever Happened to Robot Jones was fucking horrible. Even I hated that as a kid.
Yeah, I didn't like it either back then.
I forgot that they actually...
I couldn't stand much of that show either.
The initial voice for Robot Jones was actually like a Macintosh, like Microsoft SAM tier thing. And I think Apple like threatened to sue Cartoon Network. And between that and poor testing with the voice, they ended up recasting Robot Jones' voice as like a little kid. And,
wow.
And it sounds just as bad.
Wait,
in
so...
just in a different way.
There were, like, some episodes... Oh, shit, my mic went out. hold on. So there were some episodes where they had a computer as the voice or something?
Yeah, but they actually redubbed all those.
Oh, weird.
So there's some episodes where you can find one version, some episodes where you can find both, and I think there's a couple that no one can find either.
Wow.
No one gives a shit.
Isn't there also, you mentioned it earlier, but the Moloxie show, hasn't that not aired in like 20 years or something, and you can't find any copies of it online?
Yeah, I know very recently someone on the Lost Media Wiki found a 45-minute tape that had a bunch of clips on it of Moxie, but overall a lot of that is missing.
Yeah, that's incredible, the way some of this stuff is not preserved, because it's not like there weren't VHS tapes back then.
Well, I don't understand. I admittedly didn't have Cartoon Network until long after the Moxie show went off the air, but was the Moxie show an actual series, or was it just like a series of bumps that they put around the cartoons, but were like more scripted or more airtime? Because from what I can tell, they used Moxie as like packaging around the shows.
I believe it was both, but
so fucking weird.
It's also before my time. The only thing I was watching in the late 90s on there was Toonami. Hmm. I remember watching Thundercats in the late 90s, but
My earliest memory of Cartoon Network was I had a friend over when I lived in Charlotte, and we were flipping through channels, and like I guess I knew we had Cartoon Network, but I never paid attention to it much. And we were on there, and we caught like my first glimpse of what Johnny Bravo was. And we didn't know what the show was, but we just see him trying to talk to a girl. And it's the scene where he runs right into the middle of like a cement interstate splitter and like wrecks his car and everything when he's trying to like hit on a girl on the interstate. And we just busted out laughing. We thought that was the funniest thing ever. We're like, what is this show? So really, I have Johnny Bravo to thank for my first introduction of Cartoon Network. And even at that time, I think it was like 98. Like the spring of 98, that's when Toonami started. And they had Robotech going at that time, but I was outside playing or whatever, like when I was in sixth grade.
I think it started really like spring of 97. There.
Do what?
I think it started in spring of 97 with Real Adventures of Johnny Quest and Voltron and Thundercats, and I can't remember what else they might have had at that point. I don't think they had Reboot quite yet. Cartoon Roulette, they had like old episodes of Birdman and Space Ghost, the original ones from the 60s, and I think they might have had Super Friends on Toonami at one point too, but the main thing I remember watching back then is Thundercats, and then when Dragon Ball Z and Sailor Moon came on, I would watch those sometimes too.
Yeah,
I think that was 98.
I first heard about Dragon Ball Z at like the lunchroom in sixth grade, and like there was a bunch of kids like, dude, there's this like most effing awesome cartoon in the entire world, and he's like describing it to us. I'm like, dude, what channel is this on? What time? He's like, yeah, it's like in the afternoons. Just like turn it on Cartoon Network when you get home, and then soon enough, that's how I found about Toonami, and like I started watching Dragon Ball Z like religiously at that age.
Yeah. I got a story I could tell about that, actually. In spring of 99, I think they were like leading up to season 3 with the new voices and all that, and they started replaying it from the beginning to lead up into that, and I got cable that week that they replayed the series from the beginning. It was so nice. Perfect. So perfect.
Was this when they aired it in all the slots? They had Dragon Ball Z 20XL or something? And
that's what I saw, too.
Yeah, but I mean, like they were gonna air it from the beginning to go like right up into the, you know, season 3 and just like air it all in one thing, which I feel like they never really did that ever again after that, like actually aired it from the beginning and went all the way through without skipping or anything. So I just thought that was like, obviously you take that for granted at the time, because I don't think they ever did that ever again.
Well, you know how Johnny Turner is always complaining in the chats about how they, I think it was in 2002 or so, they were airing the Boo episodes over and over, the first set of Boo episodes, and then they went back to the start and aired from episode one of the Ocean dub. And I think they made it maybe in partway into season two or something, or maybe to season three. And then they just stopped airing and went back to the Boo episodes again because there were new ones out or something. And Johnny Turner, he waited and waited and waited like 5 years or something for them to air the rest of the episodes. And eventually he went and bought all the DVDs and watched them incredibly slowly at like one episode a month for 10 years, 15 years. And finally finished it when Kai started airing. He was like, okay, fine. I have to finish the Boo saga so that I don't get spoiled, because he thought Kai was like a sequel or something.
Oh.
So he finished the original just because Kai was coming.
And has he even watched, like, GT?
No.
Oh, fuck.
That's really sad. Can we calculate, like, on average he watches about 14 episodes of Dragon Ball a year, despite claiming that's one of his, like, favorite series?
Uh-huh. Well, at one point he stopped watching it for several years because he wanted to watch every single episode of all the Power Rangers series.
Oh, God. Jeez.
Yeah,
Zionic, I'm telling you that bracket idea I have, we are doing that next year. It's a great fucking idea. Okay. I want to do a March Madness-esque bracket where we rank fan bases and then we have discussions over which fan base is worse. And then finally, until you get to the final, I know of what is the worst fan base. And the Power Rangers fandom is easily a number one or number two seed.
Yeah. Man, are you sure it's not the Sonic fandom?
Oh, Sonic. Because I was thinking Sonic will be a one or two seed as well.
No, I was saying Sonic Chu.
Well, Sonic Chu isn't that widespread, so that's the main point against it.
That's like,
I was
going to
say, like, that might be the most stable because, like, people actually, like, for something that's a pile of crap, people are actually making it better than the creator itself.
Like,
yeah.
That.
Yeah, but that's ironic, though. That's largely ironic. For Power Rangers, like, I mean, look at Ranger Board. Like, there's hundreds of people on Ranger Board.
I don't look at Ranger Power Board because I'm not a Power Rangers fan, so how would I know?
Well, I know from the fucking autist who posts in their chat about it.
Yeah,
because
I know from
you look at Ranger Board.
And Shark and those guys.
Remember that guy? Oh shit, my mic went out again.
John and his mic, I swear, it goes out like every episode.
Yeah. Remember that guy, the weird pedophile guy from TZ Watch that was in the chats for a while?
Rogue
Harmony, yeah. He like gave me his password for Ranger Board or something. I don't know why. But I eventually like posted on there, trolling or something. Got him banned for it temporarily or something.
Nice.
I think it was because I wanted it so I could troll Gatomat on there or something. And we eventually, I don't know if we got him banned or if he just got himself banned. But he did get banned on there too. He would post stuff like, this was a good episode every week, and that would only be all he would say. And all the other members would get pissed off at him.
He doesn't know what the word elaborate means.
he would just say something like, oh, everything about it was good, when they would ask him to elaborate.
He would have to sit down and explain it.
Sit down comedian.
Exactly. Has he done another one of those recently?
I think it's been a while, but those were some of the best ones. Especially the one where he gets up in the middle of the video in order to go to the bathroom and he doesn't turn off the video camera.
God damn.
Are we going to talk about certain people from the chats? Because, like, I think I was mentioning this in the chat room a couple of days ago about NIV.
Okay.
And one of the things I remember about NIV when I first started talking to him on the chats was how he always had a romantic interest, like, every week or something. And I remember one night specifically, he rambled on for, like, an hour and a half about how he had this massive plan for him to just talk to a girl that he liked. And it did involve 90% stalking. It was basically
90%?
Like,
that sounds pretty low.
It was basically, he went to this whole plethora of, like, getting his friends to, like, talk him up and he was gonna like try to figure out where she like go after school, and then try to plan out where he hide in the bushes and try to like approach her somehow. And I remember him just droning on and on about it, and I just said, "Dude, just freaking talk to her." He's like, "No, no, I can't do that, man. That's not how you do it, man." I'm like, "No, that's how you do it."
This sounds like the Venture Brothers episode from a few weeks ago where they were like staging a mugging or whatever on her.
Yeah, yeah.
He has to like protect her, and she can tell it's all staged, and she's like, "No one else has ever gone to the trouble of staging a fake mugging for me before. That's so romantic."
Yeah, gone out of their way to make themselves look really good in front of me. No, I mean, it was that, and then I remember him on the chats like saying how like he'd be busted for going in the bathrooms and jacking off, and like his defense would be like, "Dude, like I'm in my own private space. Like I'm not. No one else doesn't need to look over and see what I'm doing. I'm not violating anything." It's like, dude, no one wants to hear you jack off in the bathroom.
I remember he did get in trouble for, he would, like, hide outside of the school swimming pool and, like, peek in at that girl that he was stalking, and eventually he like, had to suspend it or got a school restraining order against her or something.
Okay, here's a general discussion, Fred. Out of... what percentage of Toon Zone users from the time frame that we largely were on to say, what percentage of them do you think have full-time salary jobs? And I'm defining that as a non-hourly position. What percentage do you think have like qualify for that?
20? I don't know.
I was thinking 20 too. Because like I was thinking like, well wait, Tony's got a job, but he's been at Domino's for like,
That's definitely not a salary.
Yeah.
Well,
is he like manager there yet? He has to be.
At least it's not a tugboat.
Even if he was, that's still hourly.
I know.
Yeah.
At least it's not a tugboat.
It isn't a tugboat. Yeah, I think that's a separate question. I agree that it's 20 or less. Probably less. Now, yeah, I think the better question is what percentage is currently or still or received a tugboat.
Well, I know there were people on there who were, like, moderators that had to quit because they got a job like Duke and I think William C. Maughan. And so the Toonami board, because those guys quit after posting so much and starting the talkback threads and stuff, became, like, sort of a board of anarchy where there would be, like, five or six talkbacks put up for each episode of Naruto. And everybody would be like, "Hey, I told you this was my week, and you're not going to post threads on my board with my Naruto talkbacks."
That's so fucking stupid that people called shit.
Yeah, they would call stuff. And if anyone remembers the episodes where we've had Cloud on, he was a former Toon Zone member who quit the board because he infringed on Mega Man X, the Who's Hitler guy, his talkback rights for Bleach. He made a thread when he wasn't supposed to, and this guy got really mad at him, and he was like, "Hey, this is my thread. You better get out of my thread, and I'm going to make this thread, not you." And then Cloud was so offended that he left the board forever.
Jesus. I had no idea. I'd never even heard of that.
Cloud gets into some serious scuffles on the internet. Oh, for someone who isn't looking for trouble, he tends to find himself in these positions inexplicably.
Cloud seems like the most passive person you'll ever find on the internet. He just, like, tends to himself and, like, goes on Twitter and posts up images of, like, tokusatsu shows. Like, he's not harming anyone. Like, and
yeah, but
he's, like,
he always ends up finding himself in these positions.
Yeah. Like, with freaking Jake, who, like, threatened his life over, like, nothing he did.
I have a theory about that. I think that if you present yourself as someone who's, like, totally unflappable and, like, it just can't be, you know, provoked or whatever, that people are just going to try harder to provoke you, and they're just going to be, like, riding your ass, like, every day, trying to get you to, like, freak out, you know,
yeah,
just,
they want,
like, lose
they,
your
they
shit.
Wanna see you, yeah, they want to see you break. It's like the bullies that try to get a reaction out of, like, the kids they pick on. They don't get the reaction. They just try harder and harder.
Yeah, that's what, that's what TY does to Cloud.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that Shark used to do it, too, and, eventually, Cloud got really pissed off and said, "Go to hell, you hapless fool." Sorry.
Oh, that's man. Such a great quote. I'll say this much. Like, eventually the chat, I remember the chats being fun before, like, Tony and Curry got on there and turned into this giant monarchy of whatever the heck. And, like, for some reason, like, me and Shark would be on there, and all we did was just troll them and make fun of everyone. And you guys, you, like, I remember, like, you, John, and Josh, and would, like, be their, like, loyal followers for a time. And, like, you would, like, defend them and, like, be like, "How dare you say that," or whatever, like, to, like, me and Shark. And we're just like, what's so great about these two? Nothing. And then eventually you guys saw the light. And that all came down, and then the guys, like, there was a thread about, like, kind of reviving the chat, like, a couple years later or something, and then that kind of just, like, led you guys to basically controlling it, which has been for the best, maybe.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, the reason is that Josh and I had a hard-on for Curry is probably the reason.
Dude, you guys could have done so much better.
Probably not.
I would look at Sam. I'm like, "Guys, I know you're like 13 or whatever, 14. There are other women on the internet than just Curry. And trust me, she ain't nothing."
To be fair, the only other woman who was in the chat was Samantha, and she already had Ishtar asking for panties.
Right.
Ishtar.
Did my beautiful haired wonder forever show up or something?
Oh, no, she wasn't even a contest. I remember her, yeah.
What were you saying, like, Daft?
Wasn't she in that? Wasn't she in the chat at one point?
Samantha, yes.
No, purple hair wonder or whatever.
Oh, yes. Right. Okay. Yeah, she was.
We had Luft in here. We had Emily. There's been a handful.
Well, Emily was a bit later on.
Yeah. But yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I never really particularly hated Curry and Kuwa, but I also was not around for most of their reign. I also didn't particularly like them or dislike them.
Yeah, you were, like, too late to be around for the worst of that. Because by that time, I think Kuwabara was in his senior year of college, and he was not on as much because he was too busy or something, and which led to Curry cheating on him and dumping him for the horse guy, and she stopped going to the chats too because he wasn't on, and she only liked to be on there to flirt with him, and that's all that they did in the chats, just flirt with each other.
Well, wasn't like they finally met up, and then, like, for months, all we heard was, like, all this nasty crap they did to each other, like having sex in a Sears dressing room or something. I remember that was one of them.
Oh, God. Yes, I remember that.
I still feel like there's
they went
low
into
hot
graphic detail about it, as I recall.
There is a low odds chance, I feel like, that we're going to be dragged into a courtroom for some Toon Zone-related scenario. Or chat-related scenario, whether it's to testify on the Sears incident or for the Jay Kuhn expulsion or something or other. I feel like eventually we will all meet up in the courtroom for
Listen,
whatever.
Everything said on this podcast is a work of fiction. Any resemblance to any persons, living or dead, is a mere coincidence and should not be taken literally.
We have been using
VQ, you jackass. Yes. Why didn't you say that in the very beginning?
This is all allegedly, all right? Every time
you
we say
you
sentence,
say the allegedly, you give this
and
warning.
We say allegedly before that.
You give this warning an hour into this recording. This doesn't help our case at all.
Well,
my real name is Dustin Coplin.
And I'm Daniel Gibbs.
Daniel Gibbs.
Got me red-handed.
I mean, you don't put your real names on this anyway, so it's fine. I mean, don't worry about it.
I abbreviated mine at the end with the K, so you don't know what comes after the K.
Except it's Coplin. Kopplin.
Shut up! God, you jackass.
It's not like we don't have our names on the Facebook group for this podcast.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
Am I still in?
I mean, there's other. I mean, like, there's other stuff. Obviously, we've done too. Like, supposedly, there was a whole scare about me assisting in somebody's fake aim suicide.
Oh.
And then Iku pretended to be
real.
Dead. You guys remember that?
Yes, I do. You're talking about German boy man.
Yeah, that was the name.
Have we had multiple fake suicides?
Three, I think.
That's not enough. We need more.
There was the thing where Aviator made this account claiming to be his friend German, and he posted like all this nasty stuff. Like, he kept saying that he was jacking off to me, and that he thought I was a girl. and he would always say, ha ha. I remember.
Yeah, I remember that. Like, every sentence ended with a ha ha.
That was cool.
And then he talked about taking a shit in the corner of his room as well. Do you remember that part?
No, I don't remember that very well.
That one, no.
That character wasn't around for very long, was
he? He also talked about jacking off to camel porn, I think, and a variety of disgusting things that Aviator came up with. But
unfortunately, short-lived character. That was pretty funny, though.
Yeah, Aviator, he really added a lot to those chats. In 2008, there were a lot of funny characters he came up with.
Yeah.
But anyway, in the end, he for whatever reason, asked Sionic for advice on how to shoot his dick off with a gun.
I think my statement was like, okay, here's the full tutorial on how this works. And I'll just say this, the things I said, I will never ever say ever again to anybody else.
The log was on TZ Watch, but I think it's one of the TZ Watches that either I shut down or Zek shot down or something, so it's not on the internet anymore.
You talking about that flamboyant Zek guy that like that would wear like three collared shirts and pop them up and like paint his nails and everything?
Yeah. then Aviator got on this other account that he had to inform us that the guy had died in the streets with no dick, which is how it should have been because he was a dick.
That's to me.
Oh, man.
And that was BB Gangsta.
Oh, my other question is like... Bridge. My other question is, like, when Viku pretended to be dead as a way to troll me, like, how did that come about? Like, why did you guys do that?
Oh.
I don't know.
Wasn't that we were trolling Gatomat and trying to frame him for killing Viku?
Yeah, I think it was just unintentional that you got fooled by that.
I did get fooled by it. I thought it was personally against me, and everyone's like, "Yeah, Viku died." I was just like, "That sucks." I guess I don't know.
Wow, thanks.
And then that was
pretty vicious.
That was one of the things where only you and HG Revolution fell for it. Sort of like the Pupmon account. Only you and HG believed that was real.
Wait, I don't even remember that account.
Well, I think it was like the reverse Uncle Jeb. It was this black woman who was like a black supremacist, and we also had Uncle Jeb who was the white supremacist, and we would have them like get in arguments on there.
I'll tell you the one account that fooled me. The one account that fooled me the most was Josh's Moltar account. And I thought he was like the coolest dude ever. And I didn't realize it was Josh until like years later. Cause he would go on and then like Josh would go on there and like Moltar 1997 was like, yeah, after we got booted from Toonami, Melinda kicked me out. I live in the back of the Obsolution. I'm waiting for that check to come in. It was all this elaborate stuff. I was like, dude, this guy's awesome. I wonder who he is. And it's been freaking Josh for so many years.
Yeah, I think you only realized it when I signed on under that account, like, the night Toonami came back.
Yeah, because you have a bunch of these AIM names came up, and I saw Moltar. I was like, wait, that dude's back? And then you're like, yeah, that was me.
Okay, let's do a quick poll. How many different AIM usernames did you use in the chat? Rough estimate.
10?
Yeah, I'd say about 10 to 15.
Holy jeez. Shit. I've struck the one, which obviously I'm not good at doing any of those troll accounts.
I don't think I ever had any alts that someone else hadn't made and was letting me use. So I know I was on with the zero for the O. I think used that, but that's probably it.
We had Uncle Jeb, which was like a shared account. And eventually it got used by so many people that AIM thought something was up and it was like being hacked, so they shut it down.
Oh, really? Oh, that's what happened? Oh, that's too bad.
I think so.
Well, we don't know that that's what happened. Someone could have just changed the password and locked everyone else out.
Well, it says when you try to log in with the old password that, like, this account has been deactivated or something.
Oh.
It's some different message than usual.
That's weird.
But that one was used by me and Daft and Aviator and TY and probably Viku. A lot of people
used that. Yeah, I just handed a password out to everyone.
Yeah, and we would use that to troll people like Jaycoon and HG thought it was real, I think. HG thought everything was real. He was very naive.
See, he thought that account was real up until like 2 years ago.
Yeah, well, we've told CG several times it was fake, and he always goes back to thinking it was real.
Yes, we clearly allowed a blatant white supremacist who can barely type into the chat.
And the thing is, we changed his backstory, like, every week. We would come up with some elaborate story about his school for the lynching of blacks, or TY came up with this batshit crazy story about how Uncle Jeb was from the future, and it was... It was TY's father, and there was like all this mental stuff that TY came up with.
I will say the origin story that I posted on Toonzone using one of my fake accounts shortly after I had gotten banned, involving his. It's told from the perspective of his nephew, and it gradually just discusses how Uncle Jeb kills all of his family members and friends around him.
Isn't that where they found dead in the ditch?
Buried face down in the ditch.
Yeah.
It's very specifically. But all the posts were just long, rambling, like probably a couple hundred words with no capitalization or punctuation. And the final one ends with the nephew being kidnapped by Uncle Jeb to be taken to an Uncle and Me square dancing competition and to presumably be buried face down dead in the ditch.
We made an account for the aunt too, Auntie Clara. Remember that?
Oh god, that was, I actually forgot about that one. Why did we make that?
It was just another alt that we made to have fun with.
Oh my god, we spent way too much fucking time on that shit.
Yeah. This must sound especially pathetic to anyone who didn't witness this firsthand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This episode is literally just insider baseball.
Daft, do you remember the thread you made about fire alarms and how they're discriminatory against deaf people? You spelled DEATH. You made that with the Jeb account.
I do remember that. That must have been a different troll account I made.
I think it was the same one, but maybe not. There were several. I know I made several on there, too, and... I don't know why they never banned me from Toonzone, honestly. I find that really baffling. I mean, who lets someone who made a forum called TZ Watch dedicated to shitting all over your website stay on the website?
I feel like they probably just didn't care enough.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's amazing that you say that no one cared enough when you had, like, Curry and Kua, like, as, like, when Curry got become a moderator, she, like, banned anyone for saying, like, the slightest, like, remark to her that is not supportive of her being a moderator. Like, they banned people left and right or suspended them or whatever they did. Like, it was a total abuse of power.
Oh yeah, she banned Shark on.
How much do they have to spend to keep Geek Central alive?
She banned Shark on the first day as moderator for some like innocuous thread. Like he would make these stupid threads that were not really any stupider than the other threads on Cafe Tuesday.
I remember one in particular was like, "What do you guys choose, boxers or briefs?" And he made a poll out of it.
Yes.
he also made a poll out of favorite color underwear.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
it. Yeah, favorite Kool-Aid, too.
That's racist.
And there was one, I heard a nigger's running for president, and it was about Obama.
God damn it.
I don't think he even got warned for that one, because it was on the Toonami board where there were no moderators, so no one noticed. But yeah, she banned him right away, and I remember the way she got demoted from moderator is because Captain Zex was in a feud with her over something I don't remember, but they hated each other, and so she changed his signature. It had some gay poetry in it, and she changed one of the words to fag. Just a random word. And then I told Zex, and I was like, "Hey, have you looked at your signature lately?" And he was like, "What? Did Troy do this to me? That bitch, how dare she?" And then he reported it to Harley, because he was friends with Harley somehow. And then she got demoted and became very bitter. And then they started a thread on Geek Central just dedicated to shitting all over Toon Zone. And then that thread eventually evolved into TZ Watch because they eventually stopped allowing people to talk about Toon Zone on there because it was attracting moderators from Toon Zone who joined up just to defend themselves and say how great Toon Zone was.
That's pathetic.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess we were talking about the suicides. There was also when TY committed suicide, and I think he did that to just to mess with Jaekoon, and Jaekoon actually believed it.
Of course.
And he had called up his uncle, who was a lawyer in New York or something, and he was like, "You're going to have to defend me because TY says that I murdered him." And I think we had this guy that we, one of our characters, Steve from the Better Bullying Bureau, came on, and he started accusing.
I forgot to tell this. My friend and I were just joking around the other day, and my friend came up with the concept of Better Bullying Bureau, and I was like, "Dude, I already did that."
Wow.
I just liked the hive mind thinking there. The Better Bullying Bureau is a great concept and should have been explored more.
Yeah, that was really good.
We got one guy on there who actually like took it seriously and thought it was a real anti-bullying service, and he tried to get dirt on Daft, not realizing Daft was one of the people who was running the website.
That was so fucking good. No, I probably directed him there, too. I just sent, just like on an alt account, just sent it as a recommendation.
The other night when Viku and TY were on the Slack chat with me, we were talking about the Better Bullying Bureau at like 1 a.m. or something before watching Tim Box videos. And it turned, I think we found that it was gone, and archive.org only has like one screenshot of it or something, so it's a real shame that all that stuff is lost.
Hopefully someone has screen caps somewhere.
I have the individual attachments that we used, like the Gatomat article, and
yeah, I have a couple of those too. I'm hoping I have that dude's post saved somewhere.
We must have copied and pasted it in the AIM chat. I probably have it in the log somewhere.
Yeah, it's probably around.
But I remember him referring to us as the GC Mafia, because he associated us with Geek Central. I don't know where they came up with the term mafia to use, but didn't we also destroy that guy's forum as well? He had like some shitty like TC knockoff kind of forum, and we spammed it with epilepsy images.
Well, to be fair, there's, I don't know if it was specifically that guy. I think we did that to multiple boards.
We did that to Owner.
Yes, Owner.
I remember posting epilepsy pictures on at least like 5 different boards.
We have to talk about Owner. I don't know if we've talked about him on here before. He was this guy from the Cartoon Network board who had these ridiculous threads that he would post about just totally stupid stuff. I don't remember what it was, like favorite Ed and Eddie episode or whatever. And then he would derail it always, and he would say, "Supersonic is going advanced on my posts." He's editing them, and he's adding threats to them, because he kept threatening people. Oh, shit. My mic went out again.
Technical difficulties.
Yeah. He kept threatening people and blaming Supersonic, and then he eventually made his own boards. And I think, Daft, were you involved in trolling those boards, or just Josh and me?
There's a decent chance I was.
Because those were where we met Gary Potter, who was also trolling Honor at the time. Do you remember Gary Potter, the nemesis of Godoman?
I remember we found him at one point. We had found something he had uploaded, and he had basically like scrubbed like as much of his Gary Potter persona from the internet as possible, and was like deeply apologizing and shit like that.
Okay, so I think what happened was he like got banned on Toonzone because he only used that account to troll people, and then he made a new account called King Hippo or something, and I think that got banned too. And then he was only around on that that One Piece website that Jaekoon and Cloud and him use. I think it's called Fun Piece or something like that. Which
well,
is the
Well, if Cloud's on there, it isn't Fun Piece for Jaekoon.
Right. That's the site where Jaekoon sent him a message saying, "Please don't post on this board anymore, because whenever I see your messages, it makes me think about how much I want to kill myself," or something. Isn't that long, pissed-off message? And this was years after he got expelled from school.
I mean, I don't blame him for being sour about it, but you should probably know just to avoid the boards entirely.
But I just don't... I think it's ridiculous how he blames Cloud when Cloud was such a minor player and all that.
Well, again, I blame our poor education system, which we unfortunately deprived him of.
We got him a lifelong ban on learning, remember?
Do you want to actually go and explain this story next?
Okay, sure. So, Jaekoon was this little black teenager that was on the chats. It was like a couple years younger than us, I think, and he posted all over his Facebook saying he was going to cause Columbine 2.0 and how fire would rain down upon his school and they would all be sorry for mocking him. And so we got contacted by Cloud about this, and he said, like, this Jaekoon guy is unhinged or something. And then the next day, Chalmers said the same thing. He was like, "Okay, Jaekoon is obsessed with Columbine 2.0. And then Daft said, "Well, we should send an email to the school." And so I wrote one up, and then Daft started feeling bad about it right away. And it was like, "Don't send the email." But then I ended up sending it anyway. And he got expelled from the school. And
he was barred from the entire Georgia school district, or like the entire state or something?
He got what he described as a lifelong ban on learning. I think within a day or two, the expulsion was reversed, and he ended up only being suspended, and he had to spend like a year or two at some remedial school or something. And that's where he said,
like, he probably learned practical life skills there. Like, you should probably carry a pocket knife on you at all times. know which schoolyard bullies to befriend.
There's concealed weapons permit in school, so you can learn to respect the gun.
Well, two packs of cigarettes. I remember how there was a security guard at the
job under the stairwell.
There was a security guard at the school who was like grabbing his dick, he claimed.
Oh my god, I vaguely remember that. That was terrible.
And worst of all, he was ugly.
Yeah.
No, unrelated story, the two packs reference I made earlier is a reference to my friend worked at a Cumberland Farms convenience store. And at the store, one time a woman and her pimp came in, and the pimp ended up paying the woman in with two packs of the cheapest cigarettes available in the convenience stores for being trapped out, which is a slang for being a prostitute. So she got paid in two packs of cigarettes that were valued at around $11. So
you don't have to pay taxes on that.
For fun. Yeah, that is true. No sales tax in New Hampshire.
Yeah. Oh, wow, that too, huh? Nice.
Yes.
I think my other person I want to mention from Toon Zone, since we're talking, is that Fido McCoke Fiend or like Otaku X or something. Do you guys remember that guy? He was the one that like I mentioned him briefly, I think, in our last recording or our last episode, where it was this guy that him and me kind of talked for a while, and then I also realized that he was crazy in some aspect, but like there was apparently a thread about him where people just sat there and bashed him, where he like supposedly the story I was told from him is that he had a son from a girlfriend that forced herself on him for sex that he didn't want. Because like, and apparently he was into girls with really small boobs, and he would complain to me how he would always get girls with really big boobs, and he's like, I don't like girls with big boobs, I want them with small boobs. And I'm like, what the heck is wrong with you, dude? But she apparently, he conceived a child with her, and he wanted to call his son Speed Racer, and she wouldn't have it, so she left him. And then he would tell me stories about how I think he went to Otakon one year and like apparently like hooked up with some Asian girl in the line for registration, and he had sex with her for like the entire weekend, and he believes that he might probably got her impregnated. And then we had a discussion about like his definition of what is considered creepy for cosplay. Because he was trying to get like these Rei Ayanami the plug suit like hairband things. Because he's like, oh, that's like the same color for Shinji, and I'm like, dude, that's kind of creepy. He's like, no, it's not. And I'm like, well, why don't you just be like a nerve employee or something, and then like build a personality around it. He's like, no, that's creepy. And we had this. He wanted to have this entire debate with me on like what is considered creepy and non creepy cosplay. Well, let's just say it across the board right now that all cosplay is creepy. So then no one wins.
I don't know. I don't know if all cosplay is necessarily creepy. There's such thing as good cosplay and bad cosplay. Cosplay that doesn't make me uncomfortable and cosplay that does make me uncomfortable. I don't know.
This is a conversation that was had around the time before like cosplay really got more popular and people took it seriously, which means it was an era of like everyone had a bad cosplay and nobody really tried, which gives off the impression that all cosplay is creepy.
Cosplayers are lazy.
That could be it too.
So I was playing Pokemon Red earlier, and they said in one of the characters in the Dark Tunnel says, do you know costume play? People like to dress up as Pokemon. And I was like, wow, that was a thing even in 1996. I didn't know that people were doing the fursuits that early.
No, but the last thing I want to add about... Oh, yeah. The last thing I want to add about this guy was... There was some other crap on him, too, but I've forgotten about that. But he eventually became a Buddhist and... I guess he disappeared because I haven't seen him online in years, but I guess he went to like go live at a shrine or something, wherever there may be one in like Ohio or Illinois or Indiana, wherever the heck he was from. He just said he was going to become a monk and go live at a monastery. And then like eventually one day he never came back on AIM. So I just assume that's what he did.
He's turned away the flesh temptations. He's become an ascetic.
Like, I have no idea where that dude is now, and nor do I care. That was years ago. And, like, the whole thing with Jay Kuhn and getting expelled from the school system, that was, like, what, 6 years ago or something?
I think it was 2011.
Okay. Because I wasn't, like, I wasn't part of that, but I remember, like, I came on the chat after not being on there for a couple weeks. And, like, you guys started telling me all this crap that happened between, like, Jay Kuhn, and I was like, what the heck did I miss? Clearly a lot.
Well, Jay Kuhn, he thought it was like a wide-ranging conspiracy by all the chat members, even though there were only like 3 or 4 people that were involved. And so he would say things like, oh, TY, I bet you're plotting to get me expelled again, when TY was like in school when it happened. Or and I think he thought Viku was involved too, even though he was asleep or something.
All of us were involved. I think the only people who he didn't think were like actively involved were the ones who actually were.
Yeah.
Well, there was also the fact that we made a Chun Ruthless Gmail account and sent the email using that to try to blame Ruth.
I forgot that detail. That's fucking great. God damn it.
Yeah, I forgot that too.
Well, I think he figured out pretty quickly that that was not the case. But still, for a little while, he was blaming Ruth as well, which was funny.
I assume he didn't think Toon Rufus would snitch on him.
Yeah, they were the Super Coon Bros, as they called themselves.
Did they call themselves that?
Yes.
Jesus.
They seriously did?
That was your status on AIM for quite a while, was like... Toon Ruthless and all have saying, we're the Super Coon Bros or something. And Jay Kuhn, he was like offended by the nickname, so he like complained to AIM, and he found some site called, I think, Livestream or something, that had like a list of all your statuses or something. He like had it all scrubbed because there were various racist quotes on there.
Oh, I vaguely remember it. Yeah, because AIM would show like your history of statuses on there.
Yeah,
that's pretty great. Yeah, like I feel like the main lesson out of like I joined the chats in what, 2008, is that right?
Yeah.
So I've been in the chat for 8 years. I've been on Toon Zone since 2005. I think the main lesson I learned is if I ever have children, I'm not allowing them on the internet until they're 14 or 15. because seeing what I did before that age, and seeing what other people did at that age, and see what other people did to people at that age, I kind of would say, looking back, I kind of wish my parents had blocked my internet more, and maybe I would have turned out better.
You really think that's possible?
If you have, so you're saying if you have potential kids and you see them go on like a forum and like on like a cartoon forum, you're just gonna grab the iPad and just break it on the floor? You're like, no, don't go there. I've been there before.
There are
just going light at the end of that tunnel.
No, I'm just going to block all of the sites.
There like, won't even be just,
honestly
in 2030 or 2040 or whenever, there won't even be cartoon forums that anyone goes on anymore because it'll all be social media. Already,
well, it'll probably all be in a virtual reality chat room of some sort.
like the Ghost in the Shell episode where they have like a...
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of too. Yeah, where she's like driving and then being a part of like an online forum or something at the same time.
And the moderator is the voice by the Tai from Digimon. I can't remember the name of the actor, but it sounded like a little kid voicing the moderator in the chat room. But yeah, I think that guy retired from voice acting.
Yeah, I will say, I think we, like we all joined the internet roughly in the early 2000s, or at least active message boards. I would say that that was probably a very good time. Like think of kids like the 12, 13 year olds nowadays. They have to, like they're on Facebook. They have to use their real name on Facebook. They can't post behind a screen name. Like that sounds more negative than I meant it to be. Because I mean, when we were young, like we all made mistakes when we were younger posting online, I'm sure. And like these kids nowadays, those mistakes, that gets tied to them for the rest of their life because they have to use their actual name.
Well, yeah, I guess like my my thing about like coming up with our usernames is, you know, there's this whole thing about like online anonymity. And for us, like our it was like more of an avatar, and like there was an identity behind our names online, on like the usernames we wanted to create. So like there wasn't really like this invisible person that you don't know, or I mean, like in a sense, but there's an ID or an identification tagged to that user's profile name. So there's still sort of an identity there, even though we're kind of sort of anonymous at the same time. But there's, I think there's like, we've kind of built up this persona, like kind of like a Bruce Wayne Batman kind of thing where, you know, that's a dumb example maybe, but like, it's kind of like our Batman is this online profile and like we make him this certain character, but really behind it we're not. But like, we're more important online through that than like even our own selves. So there's sort of identity already there built up.
That was another one of Viku's statuses, was you saying the same thing years ago. Crap. You said, I'm kind of like Batman. I keep my personal life and my online life separate.
I think I said I was like middle-class Batman or poor Batman or something. that is something Wayne. I would say and continue to say to this day.
Shit.
Like a poor man, I'm like a poor man's Bruce Wayne.
I know what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a nice middle ground between the sort of anonymous hive mind of a site like 4chan and the very personal Facebook or that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, 4chan is like, there's like the far left and far right in terms of anonymity. And, you know, 4chan's like the one opposite end. Like, you don't know who's talking, you don't know who it is, and you never will. And then you get the Facebook where it's very personal and you know exactly everything about them. Well, and like with our screen names, there's like that, there's that middle line in between that breaks up the two.
What I think benefits Anonymous, and to a lesser extent how we posted on ToonZone, is that you really, like specifically on 4chan, no one has usernames. Like every opinion is basically, that carries the same weight because you don't know who's posting. It could be someone who is in Mensa and graduated college at 17, or it could be some autistic fuckwit who is still on Tugboat Bucks at 42, and their opinions are weighed equally. ToonZone, to an extent, is still that. Like you don't have the connection to who is, what does this person look like, how old are they, things like that, because that is covered behind a screen name. A name's covered, a legitimate name is blocked by a screen name. So I think it leads to more honest discussion, which I think is the most valid reason to have these anonymous platforms.
Well, they did have the moderators. Some of them had their real names, like Jacob T. Pascal.
Right. I mean, and some people did disclose their age, some didn't. Some people disclosed where they were from, some didn't. And I mean, that's information that you were allowed to share, though. It wasn't you were required to share.
Well, after
you
a
willingly
certain point,
gave out that information.
After a certain point, they required that the location fee section be filled in, but people could put stuff like the internet is their location. So it's not like you had to put a real location.
No.
Let's see, what are some other good chat history?
Well, I think like one user we've neglected to discuss so far and is probably one of the most important is Timbox.
Okay, sure. So that's another one of the things where I don't get why I wasn't banned from ToonZone, but because when
I actually did get banned because of Timbox.
Yeah, when I first saw the video of Timbox, do you remember the first time you saw Timbox on video?
That must have been the Trashing the Camp one.
Well, they made a thread about him in the the Cartoons Damn It board for Platypus Comics?
Oh, no, I did. Well, I made a, like, retrospective on him, and right. I got banned for that.
Right. Well, I'm talking about a different thing, where a Martian Invader made a thread about him, because he was, like, he found him on Retro Junk, I think, after he got banned from Toon Zone. And I don't know why this was allowed for them to, like, make a thread making fun of a former member, but I guess because he had, like, control over that board, it was based on his personal site, he was just allowed to do whatever. So I kind of thought anything goes in that thread. So when someone posted a YouTube video of him, I was like, wow, this guy really is retarded. I thought he was just trolling us all. And I got warned for that, and my post got deleted for calling him a retard. But come on, everybody knows that when they see this video, right?
I don't know.
I mean, the way he talked back then, and I guess still now.
Do we want to mention about the butterfly cast? Where we made a video request and he ended up getting injured because of it.
Oh, right. He hit his hand on the ceiling fan while doing that Trashing the Camp video, right?
No, it was like he made that and then, like, we sent him a message, like, we requested that he do more dancing in his videos.
Uh-huh.
Then he tried to do a second video and he ended up, like, smashing his hand on the fan.
Yeah.
He had to get, like, a butterfly cast for, like, 2 weeks.
So, I guess with Timbox, we actually did kind of become friends with him, though, because a lot of us have him friended on Facebook and respond to his posts and stuff. And at the time, at first I was just trolling him, but I actually do kind of like the guy. He's at least he's sticks to his dreams and he hasn't given up on Dexter's Odyssey.
He's a very lovable guy. He's not an asshole like Chris Chan is or anything like that.
Right. Yeah. He's a nice guy, at least, even unlike Chris Chan. Yeah.
Yeah, I will say I still can't believe Emily sat through his 1 hour presentation of dinosaur pictures in a slideshow.
Yeah.
Though thank goodness she did, or else we would not have been able to see the epic fight between Timbox and Mandark in his cape, come with a text dialogue of what was going on that was completely unreadable. Like 90% of it you could not read, partly because the low resolution and the pictures moving too fast and the weird zooming on Windows
put, like,
Movie Maker.
Put, like, dark red text over a black background.
Yeah.
He put red text on red background.
Yeah, it was almost unreadable, but we did manage to transcribe some of it in the chat. I'll find a log, but that was some great stuff. That was on Google Video, though, so it's probably not online anymore.
I still have a copy.
Okay,
that's
good.
That's the only Timbox video I saved.
Really?
Well, I saved a bunch of them, but I did delete them.
Why?
Because I didn't fucking want them anymore, because I felt really bad what we did to Timbox.
Well, do you have the calls?
No, maybe somewhere. I hope not.
Those weren't that bad. He didn't even realize he was being trolled.
They're pretty well. The mere fact that they happened was pretty bad.
What's so much worse about talking to him on the phone than trolling him on the internet?
I guess, like, that's more personal. I guess, like a light Facebook ribbing here or there is not as bad as a full hour phone call. You know.
Remember when you sent a Mormon Bible to his house and his parents burned it in a fire?
I do. That was pretty great. I don't feel bad about that one.
Yeah, that was pretty classic.
That's relatively harmless. But I believe I checked the option for the Mormons to hand deliver the Bible versus sending it via mail. So I'm curious how that conversation went. I'm sure they blamed Timmy for signing up for it and not realizing what he did.
Well, he posted stuff like so much personal information on the first forum he was posting on. It was the Star Wars Original Trilogy board, and he had these pictures. Well, not pictures, but he had like his address, his phone number, and all sorts of personal information.
I remember someone on Retro Junk, I believe, asked him for his social security number, and Tim Box replied saying he didn't get one of those until he was older.
You weren't sure if he was going to make it.
Oh my god. I think he thought it was like more like you get that when you're 21 and you can buy liquor and stuff like that. I think that's my guess what he thought how it worked.
You thought it was like the liquor license.
Do what, Josh?
I said his parents probably didn't give it to him until he was
21. Oh no, they obviously, he has no reason to have his social security number. What is he going to use that for after posting on the fucking blame them for not telling him it's fucking social.
That reminds me of Yoshi Angemon and the liquor license thing where we kept asking if he was going to become a bartender and get a liquor license because he said he couldn't drink yet because he didn't have a liquor license.
Oh, I forgot about that. That was a fucking gem. God damn.
Yeah, what an idiot. And he, like, we did that so many times and I still don't think he ever really understood what the joke behind that was. Like, because he's just that stupid.
He would answer, like, any question. There was the famous minus 4 inches answer he gave when people had asked him about his penis size. And this guy was like a shameless furry too. He kept posting on Toonzone like his avatar would be cropped furry porn that he had drawn. Yeah. And he would like post links to people saying, "Oh, look at my new Diddy Kong porn that I drew." And this guy was like terrible. Oh, we also got him to draw or Photoshop that picture of Peter Network, not Peter Network, Peter Griffin, with Squidward's nose, and he called it Dick Face, and I think he got banned from Toonzone for having that as his avatar.
Wait, you guys requested him to make that?
Yeah.
God damn it.
That was one of the few bands that Harley did personally.
I forget who banned me. It's been a while.
Oh, isn't it Guitar Slayer?
Oh, I don't know. It's been so fucking long. I can't say I've particularly held a grudge.
Oh, another thing that I remember you getting trouble for on there was you used to get in arguments with this guy called Slipper Man.
Oh, shit. That was so good.
What was that all about? I can't even remember the reason for all that.
I got him mad at me for some reason. He just started picking fights with me, so I started picking fights with him. I'm pretty sure I started it. But eventually, I think he threatened me at some point. I can't remember. It escalated eventually.
Yeah, it got pretty bad.
Yeah, it's honestly been so long. I honestly can't remember. I'm sure there's something in the logs about dealing with it.
Well, you did a big write-up about this guy on the first DZ Watch, which I deleted after like a week. And I think that was lost to time. But we can probably find that as they were happening, like the logs of the threads. I know he had some celebrity crushes that he would incessantly post about.
Oh, yeah, he had a crush on, I think he had a crush on the girl that hosted Fridays on Cartoon Network.
Tara, like, something.
Yeah, it was like a bunch of weird people like that. I don't know. I don't know why it fascinated me so much. I think I just thought it was weird.
And the girl from, one of the girls from one of the G4 shows as well.
Oh, Morgan Webb. I think. Is that her name? Yeah.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. I don't know how fucking I remember. I remember I found him on like Last.fm or something.
Uh huh. Yeah, I remember that too. Well, you requested him, and he sent some message back like, "I don't want anything to do with you, you asshole," or something.
Classic.
But
I don't know why I messaged him. I mean, probably I just wanted to troll him more.
Yeah, Well, I think probably he was like one of those guys who was really possessive of his celebrity crush, because I remember him saying stuff like, "How dare that Morgan Webb get married?" and that sort of thing. Like a real stalker kind of fan type situation. He was really obsessive in his posts, I remember.
Oh, I think I probably made fun of him at one point. He used to always end his posts with his full, with his name, and then write AKA the Slipper Man. I totally forgot that detail. I guaranteed mocked him for that at some point.
Do you remember the guy, Sun, that used to post on Toonzone, that would use an excessive amount of ellipses?
No, I do not, but that sounds fantastic.
Well, he was, yeah, we always used to joke that he was having a stroke every time.
He was like,
no, I remember Josh making fun of Tucson Coyote because Tucson would always write his post the same way, and then like he would have the little coyote emblem at the bottom, and I remember you Josh like mimicking that a couple of times.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the he made a thread on the I think it was like Sputnik plus 50 years or something, like some space anniversary. Or moon landing plus 40 years or something. I posted a birthday thread for him, I think, using the same format and changing up the words. So it was like, it's been 40 years since Tucson Coyote was shot out of his mother's womb, and he's been orbiting the planet ever since, or something like that. And then there were several threads like that for people's birthdays for a year or two after that, but paying homage to his writing style. And there would always be a bunch of smileys throughout it because he excessively used the tunes on smileys of like the Roadrunner and stuff. He would always stick in there.
Do you guys remember the Toon Zone Awards ceremony they held every year?
Oh yes.
And like how members could vote, but like it was the same people that won it every year. John, I think you might have been like awarded something once. I got nominated. That's all I remember.
I have the best male member of 2008.
It's just so weird for them to have an awards like for their board, I guess, or for users. It just seems kind of weird.
It's just a glorified circle jerk.
Yeah, that's generally how award shows work.
I remember Sketch would win stuff a lot. Everybody seemed to like him back then.
Well, at least Sketch accomplished something in his life.
Didn't he, he posted some thread that was about, his Christianity. It was called "This Is What I Actually Believe" or something like that. And it was this long tirade about how the faggots are all gonna burn in hell.
Jesus. That's a little strong.
Well, I remember that CG was offended by it at first, and then eventually, you know, became friends with Sketch.
I'm sure CG got over it once he got when Sketch was feeding him news.
Sketch probably taught him how to hack the One Piece site and leak it.
Most likely.
Have we ever talked about that incident on here?
I'm sure it's been discussed several times, particularly when CG has actually been on.
Well, we should talk about it again anyway. So CG claims he has nothing to do with it, and he just hacked the website and stole the episodes, but didn't release it. But we like framed him for it by making a fake Funimation account and trolling him. I think I called it the Fun Cop account, and sent him some messages saying, "Chibi Goku, we're on to you. We know that you've stolen this episode from the server and leaked it, and it's ruined the simulcast forever, and now One Piece is a dead property in the United States, and it's all your fault, and we'll be pursuing legal action." And there was like a Toon Zone moderator in the chat at the time, and they were like taking it seriously, and they were like, maybe this is real. Maybe he really did do this. Do we want this guy on our website?
The best thing is how he's still so upset over it, and he finds no humor in this situation, like, whatsoever.
Well, I think he thinks, like, we actually judge him for that or something, as if like we don't talk about how much we pirate and like make fun of take advantage of company exploits. Like, that's, people found the new Adult Swim and Toonami schedules by going through the backdoor schedule. Like,
remember
that, it's a very basic concept.
Remember that one time, well, I don't know if you guys remember this, but like, there's like Sony of, I don't remember, some Asian branch of Sony like leaked all of Amazing Spider-Man 2 onto YouTube.
Oh, Korea.
Yeah. Like, they meant to upload a trailer, and they even put trailer, but it was the entire film.
Yeah.
That was so bad. That was up for a very long time.
Yeah. I remember downloading it.
Yeah. Wow.
Did it have the English audio, or almost?
Yeah, it
Korean
was the English audio. It might have had, like, Korean subtitles, but that was about
this
it.
This is so funny.
Yeah, that was amazing. You know, it's the Spider-Man movies, when the chats were first starting out, there was only Spider-Man and Spider-Man 2, and then Spider-Man 3 came out, and I remember everybody, you know, watching it and then coming into the chat in 2007 and saying, oh, this is what I thought of the movie or whatever, and now it's been rebooted twice since then, in just 10 years. It's incredible. I don't know how many times they can do this. I guess this one's going to be more long lasting because he's supposed to be in the Civil War movie, and so they're going to have it be like the Marvel Cinematic Universe Spider-Man from now on, and that'll probably last as long as this current iteration of the Marvel movies lasts, until they decide to reboot it again. Did you guys like the new costume, or what do you think of the new Spider-Man?
Personally, I don't like the new costume, but I know apparently the costume is authentic to what was in what has been in the comics before, what was in Civil War during the time. So,
and at the time he was in the Iron Spider outfit, wasn't he, during Civil War?
I'm not sure, to be honest.
Well, I remember that the plot of Civil War in the comics was that Iron Man had offered Peter Parker to be his apprentice or something, and so he was like using a mechanized suit like the Iron Man, and they were calling it the Iron Spider. And I don't know if they're going to incorporate all that in the movie. I have a feeling they will not, but that was a thing at the time. And I think probably in the movie it'll just be the classic looking suit, but I think that there's something that's just a little off-putting about it. The actor sounds like too young, and the colors are too garish. But maybe they're just going for like a really cartoony look for him. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we literally saw like 5 seconds of him in the trailer. There's plenty of time to change stuff.
Yeah.
If they want to.
It doesn't look like real. It looks so CGI'd.
Yeah, I was really surprised how I mean, that was just one, like, again, 1 5-second clip. So we're making all these judgments based off of literally 5 seconds. And supposedly Spider-Man's supposed to have a decent plot in Civil War. So we will see how that turns out.
How long is Civil War supposed to be?
Is the runtime even out for that yet? I know Batman vs. Superman is going to be under 2.5 hours.
I think there is a runtime. Hold on. 2 hours, 26 minutes.
Yeah. The more I hear about that, the more I think that it's going to be a clusterfuck with how many characters they're going to have to include. Like, they have the Black Panther and Spider-Man being introduced in it before they have their own movies, so I'm not sure how they're going to be able to handle that, especially since they said they aren't going to do origins in any more movies. So it's just going to be like these characters show up out of nowhere.
I mean, if you think about it, they also have to deal with the fact that the Winter Soldier is fucking back. Like, they somehow rescue the Winter Soldier. Then they somehow have to figure it, incorporate the whole actual Civil War plot. There's probably going to be set up for a Black Panthers movie.
And Spider-Man, and, of course.
Baron Zemo is apparently somewhere in there. He's supposed to be, like, one of the villains, but, like, he hasn't shown up in any of the trailers.
Yeah. I'm just starting to think that these movies have gotten too convoluted with the amount of characters that we have to include, and it's all, like, corporate mandates in order to set up future films, and
I mean, Joss Whedon failed at that. Like, Ultron was largely a mess because they did have to incorporate so many characters, and now they are incorporating even more characters. I guess the plus side of this one is the main antagonist is an already established character. So hopefully they won't have to do as much pertaining to that, and it'll be more exciting to see Cap and Iron Man face off rather than the Avengers versus some random villain we were introduced to an hour ago that was poorly set up.
Well, I thought Josh just said the villain is Baron Zemo. They haven't appeared in previous movies, have they?
Well, he's going to be in the film, but obviously the main conflict is going to be, or presumably will be, Cap versus Iron Man.
Right, but he's not the villain. He's going to be, like, manipulated by some villain or something, you know? Hmm. Because they'll have it be, like, where there's a motivation for Iron Man where he fucks everything up, like in Avengers 2, but it's not really his fault because he's, you know, being fed this by the villain, and they're manipulating him or something.
They already did. Loki had mind control in the first Avengers. Why would they go back to mind control again?
Well, because it's comic books. They always reuse plots.
Admittedly, I've not read the Civil War comic, but my understanding is this is just a ethical debate more than anything that centers Civil War. Not necessarily Iron Man is being controlled to be a dick and make everyone register.
Well, it's like, it's true that it's not, Iron Man in the comic is not being controlled by anyone or anything. He's just has this viewpoint after the disaster happens where a bunch of people die because of some teenage superheroes, that they have to register superheroes so that only the established heroes can act, and they all have to work for S.H.I.E.L.D., and the government can control everything. And then Captain America, who is, like, you know, very old-fashioned, comes from the pre-New Deal era or whatever, and then he got frozen in ice. He has, like, the different viewpoint that heroes should be free to do whatever they want and do good on their own without being manipulated by the government. But from what I've heard, the plot of the movie is supposed to be very, very different from that.
Oh, they did confirm it's going to be radically different?
Well, that's what I've heard is in the reporting, is that it's basically an original plot, just with the same concept of superheroes fighting each other.
Oh, that's actually really disappointing.
Well, the thing is that
terribly shocking. Trying to explain the political aspect of why they would divide the heroes would be not only time-consuming, but probably pretty boring for the average viewer.
Yeah, and they had to, in the original, they had to do things that they just can't do in this. Like the part where Spider-Man reveals his secret identity to everyone to comply with the Superhero Registration Act. And then Aunt May gets killed, and he has to make a deal with Satan in order to bring her back to life, and they retconned all sorts of stuff after that. That nonsense, they can't adapt that. And there's all sorts of other bullshit in there, where they cross over with all these different other teams, like the Thunderbolts are involved, a bunch of ex-villains that get involved with trying to force people to register, and there's, like, a tie-in with the Nova comic, which was tying in also with the Armageddon plot that was a different crossover going on at the time, and it's like they can't make it like a direct adaptation of of such a mess of an event that has like hundreds of issues of tie-ins and like maybe the basic premise of like liberty versus security will still be there, but it's going to be radically different from the comics. They can't adapt it like closely at all.
Yeah, I figured they would mostly just focus on the base conflict between Iron Man and Cap, but I guess even that is probably a stretch.
The comics are highly dated. I mean, it's written maybe 5 years after the Patriot Act was passed, and there was a lot of like, oh, how much of our privacy and liberty do we want to give up in order to be safe or whatever, and like they could do that still with the NSA or whatever. They could tie it in with modern issues, but it's going to be really different from the comics, just because you can't adapt like a Bush era thing when Trump is president or Hillary is president or whatever. It won't have like the same kind of meaning as it did at the time. There's a lot of like heavy-handed allegories in the comic too. The sort of debates that were happening in the mid-2000s. Isn't it also the case that Marvel recently did a sequel event in the comics to Civil War, like a Civil War 2 or something?
Hey, I gotta get off the call. I gotta get up early, so
see you later.
I'm gonna head out. Alright, you guys can go as long as you want to, and I'll get this recording later.
Okay.
Alright. Awesome. Later.
All right, let's just talk Xionic.
Me, I'm Ray, and Scott Carl Olson, but when I represent for Kirkland, I'm known as Ultra Klystron. Of that very crest crew named Funk Confusion. But I think it's time to end the introduction. When I bust a rhyme, I attract the ladies. Even better than that Tenchi Misaki. When I rock a beat, it rumbles throughout your car, like a fight scene from that show Outlaw Star. And my melodies are like serendipity. If you don't like me, the GP will put you in jail for eternity. But you know I'm just kidding, right? Because I don't want this to turn into a Gundam fight, where I end up being the pilot of a Zaku. Because at the end of the day, I'm just an otaku. I make my anime references by the pound. Then I give massive shout-outs to all of K-Town. I bring many references you never heard before. Even if you're all a long-time fan of Titan or Core, I'm the Ultra Klystron, and I kick a different rhythm, and I bring to